I'm gonna call to order the Brewery Planning and Zoning Special Meeting Wednesday, October the 5th, 2011, 6:30 PM, Brewery Town Hall. Would y'all please turn off or silence all electronic device? Will all stand and face the flag? Those who will leave it, please.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ms. Mary Ann, will you call the roll, please, ma'am?
Carol Vanto.
Here.
Steve Perkins is excused. Claudette Purnell.
Here.
Gary Sonnet.
Here.
Rosa Stelly.
Here.
Jules Thibodeau.
Here.
Jeff Trabasco.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, did everybody receive a copy of the minutes of the September the 28th, 2011 meeting? Is there any question? Any changes to be made? If none, do I hear a motion to accept? Motion was made, second, all in favor?
Aye.
Ms. Mary Ann, would you please read the letters on hand, please, ma'am?
First letter we have is a letter from Arlene's Quarters Homeowners Association dated October 3rd, 2011, addressed to Mr. Carol Vanto, Chairman, Brewery Planning and Zoning Commission. Dear Mr. Vanto, on behalf of Arlene's Quarters Homeowners Association, we respectfully submit our concerns regarding the proposed Arlene's West subdivision and correspondence received from Mayor Joey Norman and Jonathan Starnes dated September 29th, 2011. We are concerned about the apparent collusion between the mayor's office, the city council, and the planning and zoning committee and their readiness to abrogate their responsibilities to this electorate. There is no justification to ignore the open meeting law, to deny the residents for Arlene's Quarters due process and speed the project through the approval process. We strongly urge you to adhere to your initial decision to defer the matter to the next regularly scheduled meeting on October the 26th, 2011. First, Mr. Starnes mischaracterizes the nature of the failure to send Arlene's West preliminary plat to interested parties as required by Part 3, Section 1916B cited below. It is not a minor municipal discrepancy, but an outright failure to comply with one of the prerequisites of the law. Item B, upon receipt of this preliminary plat, the Secretary of the Commission shall transmit said plat to the mayor, fire chief, and water board for review and recommendations in relation to specific service problems. The approval of the preliminary plat by the planning commission and council shall not be deemed final acceptance of the final plat, but rather an expression of approval of the layout as submitted on the preliminary plat. Such approval shall not be noted on the preliminary plat. Forwarding the preliminary plat to the fire chief and water board is not a mere courtesy. It is intended to apprise them of the fact that a subdivision is being proposed to give them an opportunity to advise the committee of the impact of such proposed development on the health, welfare, and safety of the citizens of Brewery. That is hardly a minor municipal matter. Moreover, when this committee convenes its next meeting, it should reopen the public comment period to receive the comments of the fire chief and/or water board. In the event the committee disregards the requirements of open meeting law and convenes a special meeting to consider Mr. Starnes' request, we insist the fire chief and water board be provided with the preliminary plat with submission and advance notice to afford them sufficient time for review and drafting of comments and/or recommendations as required by law. We strongly dispute Mr. Starnes' characterization of our complaints as limited to drainage, traffic, and sewer impacts. As noted at the meeting, the proposed new subdivision violates the existing planning and zoning ordinance in several ways. including but not limited to dead-end streets designed to have one end permanently closed cul-de-sac shall not be more than 500 feet in length. Violates section 19.10D. And providing blocks extending more than 800 feet in length violates section 19.11. This commission must be mindful that there is no such thing as grandfathered property, section 19.82. The commission may recommend that a variance be granted if the developer certifies that strict compliance with any provision of this code would not further the general welfare, safety, health, or economic benefit of the residents of Brule, and that the developer can and will comply in an alternative manner with the intent of the regulations. Per section 19.83, decisions made up by the commission and our council should be made without regard for potential legal action, but made based on what is the best interest of the town of Brule. The person or persons disagreeing with any decision have the right to seek relief, but decisions should never be made solely or partially to avoid such an action. The commission's sole obligation is to consider the impact of the proposed development on the health, welfare, and safety of the current residents of Brule. Additionally, LeBeau Avenue was not designed to handle the flow of traffic that is proposed. This proposed development will create with the addition of 100 or more new houses. Furthermore, as required by section 19.8C1, all streets shall consist of a minimum width of 22 feet, and LeBeau currently is not in compliance with this requirement. Lastly, we have revisited our position regarding the right-of-way and hereby advise that we stand firmly in unison by our original decision. Specifically, we will not grant Mr. Starnes et al. Access to the Malonso property via the 5-foot servitude owned and maintained by the Orleans Quarters Homeowners Association. Sincerely, Orleans Quarters Homeowners Association is signed by Allison Connor, President. A letter from Mike Alamo with Brule Fire Volunteer Fire Department. Dated October the 4th, 2011. To whom it may concern. After reviewing the latest preliminary plan for Orleans Quarters Subdivision, second filing, Fire Protection Subdistrict Number 2 of West Baton Rouge Parish does not see any issues that would affect the fire department. The preliminary plat plan states that the builders will follow all town and parish ordinances, which will include the building setbacks and the water and fire hydrant line sizes, spacing, and types. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact me or my assistant chief, Kenny Hunts, at 225-749-3233. Yours in safety, Michael J. Alamo, Fire Chief. I have a letter from West Baton Rouge Parish Water Works District Number 2, dated October the 5th, 2011. Mayor Joey Norman, reference preliminary plat, Orleans West Subdivision. Mayor Norman, in response to your request of water service availability, this is to inform that West Baton Rouge Parish Water District 2 currently has an adequate supply to provide potable water to the proposed development. If you have any questions, please contact the Water Board office. Sincerely, James Reels, President.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, before I go any further, I want to remind everybody that the purpose of this commission is to make a recommendation only to the council in Brule. After said that, I will let anybody who wants to talk, I will give them 5 minutes of our time for them to express themselves. This is not a public hearing. but we will give y'all the courtesy to come up and speak. Let's start with the developer first.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm Sean Heimer with Alvin Fairburn and Associates. We're the civil engineering consultants for the project. The project before you, we're requesting approval for the preliminary plat, which is would be a new subdivision that would tie in to the existing Orleans Quarters Drive at the west end of Orleans Quarters subdivision. The proposed development is going to be on two tracks, a portion of the Henry Melanson property and track B. The entire development would be isolated to the property west of the existing subdivision. So there is no proposed lots or connection to Orleans Quarters Drive across from the existing subdivision. We're going to meet all the town requirements, all the development requirements. I've got just a couple of comments to make regarding previous comments that were received at the last meeting. I'll start with the reference to the cul-de-sac. The section 1910 of the Town of Burley ordinance states, streets designated to have one end closed shall be provided with a closed end with a cul-de-sac. A cul-de-sac shall not be more than 500 feet in length unless approved by the commission for specific reasons. The cul-de-sac we're proposing is 236 feet in length, the length of the actual cul-de-sac. Therefore, it is less than the 500 feet and does not require a variance. It is in occurrence in agreement with the ordinance. The second point is in regards to blocks. The section 1911 of the ordinance states blocks shall not extend more than 800 feet in length unless it is determined that such longer blocks will not lessen the ability to existing or future adjoining subdivisions, or that such blocks will not increase the response time for emergency vehicles. As this property is proposed on the west end of the existing subdivision and all emergency vehicles would access from the east, not having any additional block in excess of the 800 feet does not impede emergency vehicles from getting to the subdivision. They still have the same distance to travel coming from LeBove Avenue to the subdivision, and as such does not require a variance. There was concerns raised in regards to traffic, and specifically for LeBove Avenue. For the subdivision itself, we're proposing a 25-foot drive. It'll be 25 foot from edge to edge. The existing LeBove Drive, I'm not sure exactly how wide it is. That is a public street. It's owned and maintained by the town. If it is less than the required 22 feet, obviously it's the requirement of the town to address that. I'm not sure exactly what the capacity for that particular street is. I can tell you that the Baton Rouge Unified Development Code for a narrow residential two-lane street, which is 22 feet wide, it is designed to handle up to 1,000 vehicles per day. And I haven't added up the lots, obviously, but I don't believe there's nearly 500 lots that would access north of LeBove Avenue. In regards to drainage and really sewer as well, we're just requesting preliminary plat. This is not final plat. We're not going to start construction tomorrow. This is the first step in getting a project designed, permitted, and constructed. This is simply a preliminary layout to give everyone an idea of what we're proposing to do. If it's approved, the next step is to go out, have a complete survey of the property done. We would prepare a drainage impact study, we would analyze the sewer. Basically, we go in and look at everything that we have in depth. We're not allowed, there's ordinances established by the town to regulate developments. They're not allowed to just go in and do what they want to do. We have to meet what the town requires us to do. In regards to that drainage impact study is going to show what improvements are necessary on the property to mitigate any improvements we do. So essentially, whatever the drainage condition is now, it cannot be worsened or further hampered by our development. We're required to either put in a detention pond, increase culvert sizes, whatever it takes to offset our impact. Same thing with sewer. We look at what the existing capacity of the sewer system is. We know what our additional loading will be. If the existing lift station that handles the subdivision now cannot handle what we're going to pump into it, we've got to upsize the pumps at the developer's cost. It's the developer's responsibility to offset that impact. I know there was a reference to grandfathered property, but we haven't requested anything regarding grandfathered issues. But, Again, we're not requesting any variances, any waivers. We're going to meet all the requirements of the town. And just lastly, per Article 8 in Chapter 19 of the Brule ordinances, states that the town of Brule is now and desires to remain a primarily residential community. The preferred type of residence is a single-family residence. This preference is based on the desire of the citizens to attract the type of residents who will support the community, the school system, civic organizations, local businesses, and the like. And that's exactly what we're proposing to do.
I have a question for you, Sean.
Yes, ma'am.
When you talked about those blocks are going to be connecting to Elaine?
I'm sorry.
Those right-of-ways will be connecting to Elaine Street?
The right-of-ways will, yes, ma'am. There are existing right-of-ways off of Elaine. We would extend those all the way to our proposed drive.
Okay.
There are no streets in there.
I know.
And but we did provide for the right-of-way.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, sir. Mayor Norman.
After the public hearing the other night, which I intentionally stayed quiet, I took the time to listen to the recording. And from the recording, I wrote down who said what and briefly described what each person said. And I went back through them and except for some that really don't have any substance to them, I'd like to go over some of the things that were said and perhaps help the commission in before they vote tonight. First thing is the issue over the notification to the water board and the fire chief. Well, first of all, the preliminary plat does not require that they approve the preliminary plat. It just says we transmit it to them. But notwithstanding, I called both of them and they both sent us a letter and said
Mayor,
they have a problem.
It says for receipt and recommendation.
Well, did you hear the letters?
No, I did. At that meeting, we did not.
Okay, right. Okay. Right. I'm not going to argue with you about it.
I'm just stating the facts.
But, okay.
We didn't have it.
You're correct. It did not happen. But it has happened since then. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. With regard to drainage, six different persons commented on drainage. One of the comments that I have is that there's a major drainage ditch, and the best way I can describe it is next to Roxanne Dupuy's house. That's not shown on the plat. That ditch has to be shown on the plat because it's going to probably, it's guaranteed it's going to eliminate two blocks. That'll come out when they do that topo. So one of my recommendations is that you recommend to, whether you pass it on favorably, unfavorably, otherwise, that you recommend to the council that that change be made on the plat. As was said many times before, the drainage design will be addressed by the engineer. That is done, and anybody who wants to take a look at the drainage before it happens is certainly welcome to do that, because the council gets another vote on the construction plan. It's not a for sure thing. It's not a rubber stamp. They get to vote on it again. The way it works is they present the plans, and what I'll do is I'll give it to an engineering firm that we have hired and, you know, receive comments, et cetera, et cetera. If it comes to pass that the mayor, who's representing the town, and the engineering company or the developer, whatever you want to call it, have a disagreement on something in the design. Let's say I want larger culverts and they don't think it's necessary. Then the tiebreaker goes to the council. It's presented to the council that we have a disagreement. This is A, this is choice A, and this is choice B. But the construction drawings and no construction goes forward until that's done. So anyone who has concerns about drainage, there is still much time to talk about it. You need to be aware that drainage has been for a long time something that the town of Brule has been working on. As we speak, they are now, the parish is now digging out with a drag line the parish canal. It's going to take a while to get there, but the reason why you should care about that is because the parish canal is where the Tonton Canal dumps into, and the Tonton Canal is where your water because most of you live on Arlene and Arlene's Quarters, and where your water's going to go. If the Tonton Canal is full of water, your water's not going anywhere. It doesn't matter if we put six-foot culverts or six-inch culverts. It really doesn't matter. Your water has to have a place to go. So the prudent thing to do is to start on the end and work your way back, which is what we as a parish are doing. We've been working at this for a while. It's not an easy job. It's a very large amount of dirt, and the parish is doing a good job, but it's not there yet. You should also be aware that the developer of your subdivision, Arlene's Quarters, you live in here, dug a ditch to the west of your subdivision that goes east and west. And the town asked the developer, owner, whatever you want to call it, for a servitude so we could maintain the ditch. The ditch, I guess, was maybe 4 feet deep and, you know, pretty wide. The developer owner refused and said he would take care of it. So I urge you to put on your boots and take a walk back there. Walk, just continue down the street, look to the right, and look at that ditch. That ditch has trees in it. It doesn't just have grass, it has trees in it. So the water that's all leaving your subdivision was supposed to be able to go, it's one of its tributaries, go down that ditch. It ain't going down that ditch because it's full of trash, okay? When we eventually get the design, we're going to figure out with the engineer how to get the water out of there. But that's a major problem that we have no say-so in. The person I'm talking about used to be the Homeowners Association, and I'm not even sure if he's a member now. Before Arlene's Quarters was built, in heavy rains, the water flowed towards Arlene's Quarters. The natural flow of the water is away from Arlene's Quarters, right? That's the way the river, that's the way the land slopes and everything else. But the water flowed towards Arlene's Quarters. How do I know this? Because I went out there at the urging of one of the engineers, and I threw a stick in the water after the heavy rain, it was going towards Arlene's Quarters. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Water doesn't flow uphill. What does make sense is that the water at the end that somebody was describing the other day is this high and that building was going to flood and all that. They were absolutely right. There's a lot of water back there. But I would like to believe that it's better now than it was, and I know it's going to be better later. Okay? One of the things we did probably 4 years ago, maybe five, I can't remember really, was to get the water away from Arlene's Quarters and down Arlene, which is a significant problem, pretty much from Mackey's house, which is the end of your subdivision, all the way to the end. We dramatically increased the size of the culverts on the north side of Arlene Street. There was all kinds of sort of smorgasbord of sizes down there, but we went out there and we made the culverts very large. In fact, we, at the town's cost, we removed people's driveways and increase the size of the culvert so that the water could get out more easily, okay? The next thing we did was we put in double 24-inch culverts underneath the ground going to the north from Arlene Street going to the north with junction boxes all the way along there to catch the water coming out of Arlene's Quarters coming from the back the wrong way and to deliver the water from Arlene Street back directly into the Tonton Canal. All those things have been done to make it better. It's not solved yet, but when we finish with the engineers, we're hoping that the drainage will be better because we'll have a better way to get it out of that area faster. The problem we have is not drainage. We have a problem with storm runoff. That may sound stupid, but it's not. The problem isn't drainage, it's storm runoff. What we have a problem with is when we have a storm and we get a large amount of water over a short period of time, it can't get out of there fast enough, so it builds up. Half hour, 45 minutes later, you can look and everything's fine. Well, the problem is we don't have a large enough way to get the water out. If the parish canal is full of water, it ain't going nowhere. So we're working on that. If the Tonton Canal is full of water, it's not going anywhere. If those are done and we take care of those, then we have to have a way to get it to those tributaries to get it out of there. All that's being worked on. We can never do it fast enough, but we try. And then the last problem we have, which is one that I know is going to get corrected, is that we allowed people in Arlene's Quarter subdivision to build fences across servitude. You're not supposed to have any structure across a servitude, anything. not supposed to have anything of servitude. Well, we've allowed them to build fences and stuff like that. So that when water falls on your neighbor, if you blocking the drainage downhill by having a garden or a flower bed or a fence or whatever, you're hurting your neighbors. Allison has promised me she's going to send a letter to the homeowners and tell them and give you 30 days, and then we're going back there and do an inspection. But the town of Brule, this mayor is not going to listen to people talking about that yards getting drained, having drainage problems when they're people are violating the servitude agreement that we signed with them. And it's a signed agreement. So that's going to get corrected. The best way to get it corrected is you correct it yourself. Let's talk about traffic. 13 different people commented on traffic. We have addressed that situation over Bold before because we had the culvert program, which is, for those of you who've used it before, you pay for half of the culverts, the town pays for the other half. The residents along there have refused to put culverts in there. They do not wish to put culverts in there. And it would be we have up to now felt it was unfair for us to go put them in full cost when other people in town, you know, 5 miles of them, people have paid half the cost, okay? We may revisit that. But if you can get the neighbors along there to give some right-of-way, I will bring it to the council that we'll widen that street. Am I promising you go out on the street? No. I didn't say I'm promising you widen the street. What I said is, if you can talk the neighbors into giving up some right-of-way, and we're not talking about a lot, because if we fill the ditches and make some shoulders, it'll make a lot of improvement. Okay? I'll bring it to the council. And this council, I guarantee this council, will do whatever it takes to do the right thing, and they will take care of it. One thing I will recommend to the council, whether the planning commission does or not, is the right-of-way that now exists where the turnaround is at the end of Orleans Quarters, I'm gonna want the contractor to pave that. And if the LeBeau Street thing does not come to pass, I will tell you that I will urge the council to pave the rest of it so it'll tie in Arlene Street with Arlene's Quarters. So that when people coming from the back, they'll be, if the traffic's too bad, if they don't want to go on LeBeau Street, they can just go right down Arlene Street and get on out. So it's up to you, homeowners association. If you decide you want want that, well, you talk to your neighbors and y'all figure it out. But I'm willing to try to get the council to do that. And as I said, this council that I've dealt with for 11 years, every time I go to them with something that makes sense and good for the citizens, they go along with it. So don't be fooled. We have the money to do it, and we can do it. We don't have the right of way to do it on LeBeau, but we do have the right of way to do it at the end of the subdivision. So we'll take care of that. School system. 4 different people commented on the schools. Sugar Mill in Addis has hundreds of houses, several hundreds of houses, apartments, townhouses, condos. All those kids go to Brule schools. We recently authorized, or we put in an ordinance, the possibility of a T&D right here by the elementary school. Hundreds of units. I don't know how many of y'all have been to public hearings when those kind of things happen, but you weren't here. How many school board meetings have you gone to if you're worried about the schools? I go to school board meetings. I'll tell you why I go to school board meetings, because I am the number one fanatic in Brule about zone jumpers. That means people coming from somewhere else that don't belong in our school system. And it's me and one other council member one other school board member who's really, really interested in it. If you're a parent or a grandparent, go tell your kids or your whatever, to bring some names back, to bring them to me, bring the name to me. With the lady who talked, I don't even know if she's here tonight, she said there were 27 kids in the class. I have a grandson, almost 6-year-old grandson, who's in kindergarten. So I have a vested interest in that. I don't want big classes, and I know everyone says and everyone knows that we have a tremendous number of kids that we're educating that live outside the system. So if you want to do something about cutting down the population, the way to do it is to go after that. That's my opinion. Let's talk about the 800 feet between blocks. 3 different people, plus the letter that was Mr. Carroll, mentioned that. It says, blocks shall not be more than 800 feet in length, unless it is determined that such longer blocks shall not lessen the accessibility to existing or future adjoining subdivisions, or that such longer blocks will not increase the response time for emergency vehicle. Makes sense? The commission shall state reasons for recommending to the council all blocks longer than 800 feet. So it's just a recommendation thing. It's not a go, no go. So what I did was I took out the plat, and the first block is 720 feet, the next one's 620 feet, the next one's 650 feet, but the next one's 960 feet. That's more than 800. The next one after that is 1,322.3. Without leaving a microphone, basically, if you look at the end of the subdivision back, it's 1,322 feet back to the first intersection. Well, why is that? Well, the reason for that is because what they did, they lined up the existing right-of-ways with the ones that are already on Eileen Street. That makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. But I'm going to recommend to the Planning Commission, and I would say I'm going to recommend to the council, that somewhere between the end of the subdivision and the first block, that we insert a right-of-way through there. Now, why would we do that, a right-of-way to nowhere? Let me go up here. If you look at this thing right here, that's the Harry Laws property. It's undeveloped, just woods. So if we run a right-of-way that kind of skims right along the edge of it, that means any future development, that right-of-way will already be there. And that would make the distance from here to here, from here to here, something.
Can you go on the other side and explain that so we can see?
Right here. I'm suggesting right here. Just say, I would suggest, Sean and him will pick it out where it is, where the right place is. You can see the edge of the property line right here. Mm-hmm. That's the edge of Harry Laws over here, and this is the Eileen Street people. Just run the right of way across here so that eventually when anybody develops up here or they develop the Harry Laws property, there'll already be a right of way. And you'll kill two birds with one stone. You'll have the 800 foot, you'll have less than 800 feet, plus you'll have an additional right-of-way for future development. Reducing the 960 to less than 800, to me, is ludicrous. It lines up already. What's the difference? It's no big deal. That's a judgment call that will be made by the council, but I'm not going to recommend that we shorten that. And all it says here is the commission recommends. This is a matter of note. The length of the first block in Orleans Quarters is 2,300 feet. Now, how they got past this, I guess you had a young mayor and a dumb mayor at that time, so I just thought it was a pretty long block. 2,300 is a lot longer than 800. We should have never let that happen. Let's address the cul-de-sac. Streets designed to have, it's a quote, streets designed to have one end permanently closed cul-de-sac. She already read all that stuff. A cul-de-sac shall not be more than 500 feet in length unless approved by the commission for specific reasons of topography, etc. As we said, the length of the cul-de-sac shouldn't be more than 500 feet. But even if somebody were to interpret that it can't be more than 500, it can't be more than 500 feet from the nearest intersection, if we insert that right-of-way that I'm suggesting, it's a moot issue, really. I don't need to talk about that. Now let's talk about something that's a little bit less specific. Property value loss. Six different people commented, plus the letter to Carol Fontenot also addressed that. It may be hard for you to believe, but in the time that I've been in office and most of the council members are in office, we have changed the chapter 18 and 19 many times, and the whole purpose has been to make sure that any development that happens in Brule is a quality development. We've gotten rid of bars, got rid of trailers, we've done a lot of things that you don't know about until you get into it. But the whole point has been we won't have hotels. We've eliminated a lot of things that other communities tolerate. We're very much opposed to multifamily dwellings. We're opposed to anything that transients are involved in. That people rent something and they move on, rent something and move on, because those things tend to go down. But there's a limit to what a government can do. If a person buys a piece of property and they decide they want to find the cheapest lumber in the world and the cheapest shingles for the roof and the cheapest windows and the cheapest do that lawn, what do you call that? Mulch, whatever. Do that. They don't do like some people do with that lawn. and they don't want to have a flower bed in the front yard and all that stuff. I don't not believe you want your government doing, controlling that. You do not want your government control walking up and down the street and checking out every house to make sure it's the standard that your government thinks it should be. You people who live in this town, the place that I live in, there was a trailer there at one time while they built their house. We've remodeled the house 3 times since then. We had paneling, we had the cheapest tile you could get, we had a formica thing, probably cheaper than that. But we've had to change because at the time, the people, when my wife and her husband built that house, that's all they could do, okay? So whether or not your property values go down is a function of the humans that are in it, not the material it's made out of. Now, your government, your town, there's no way we could write a code to control people's the way they do business. Some people are going to do things the right way and some people are not. Landis Avery, who's on the council, he lives in a 1,200 living area house that he was born in 70 years ago. But I tell you what, I bet you'd like to have him as a neighbor because he keeps his yard up fabulously. I know of a house, it's a brick veneer house, and I went over there the other day to that house, and you cannot even walk in the house. There's so much trash and so much garbage on the tables and everything. It's a rat hole. But it's probably a 2,000 living area brick veneer house. So you can't control that. And I don't believe you really want your government to do that. But if you do want your government to do that, you come see me and I'll give you a copy of the code and we'll go through it and you'll write down all the things that you want in the code. Like you want to make sure that the 2x4s are made out of a certain material and no knots in them, and you want every cabinet has to be marble. I mean, every countertop has to be marble. Every cabinet has to be made out of oak. Every living room and every den has to have a crown molding. You want to put all that stuff in a code? We'll do that. I say we'll do that. We'll bring it forward to the council and we'll see if we can do that. Whether or not the property values in your place go up or down, I really don't know. But I do know as a government, we're trying to set a framework where that kind of stuff, it has a less of a chance to happen. I make no apologies for that. No apologies whatsoever. And we've worked hard at it and we're gonna keep working hard at it. Suggestions, I only have 3 suggestions. Require additional right-of-way between the last right-of-way and the cul-de-sac. Talked about that. Show the major drainage ditch that's not shown on there and adjust the number of lots accordingly. And connect Eileen and Arlene's quarters at the existing turnaround if requested to by the Arlene's Parish Homeowners Association. Those are the only three suggestions that I have, that I'm going to have. One, I think if I read it right, I'm sure other people have read it more than me, but if I read it right, the first suggestion with the cul-de-sac will cure the cul-de-sac if there's any debt. I don't think there's a problem there anyway, but it'll cure that and the 800 feet for that section. The 900 foot section, it says that the commission needs to pass along to the council if they leave it at that length, the reasons for doing that. And that's, you can pass along or suggest they put another one, either way, it doesn't matter. And the homeowner association approval, I would just, that would pretty much be a town matter. It doesn't have anything to do with the plat per se, but because that'll come in the construction phase, whether or not we pave that road or we don't pave that road. So I don't really believe that's a commission issue. Anybody has any questions? I don't know if you want to take questions.
Yeah. Is there any question?
Yes, sir.
Are we going to be able to talk? Or?
Yeah, you can talk.
Okay. You want to just... Yeah.
You want to sit down? You can stand then and...
Okay. That's going to give the
name.
Hello, Darren St. Cyr, 3642 Eileen Street. One recommendation I'd like to make also, if we're going to come through to Eileen Street, because I don't believe anybody lives on Eileen Street that's up here, I don't believe no one, is to go to Live Oak. You know, let's go ahead so we have a way out also when it crams up. That's a recommendation I'd like to make if we're going to slide through to Eileen Street.
Can't go to Live Oak, we don't have the right of way through there.
Okay, so what, the Sinclair back there, is that
no,
something that's
three different owners as you go across.
Okay, well, there is a road back there to the back that is Sinclair's right of ways up. The other thing is appreciate you clearing all that up, all the information there. The crime, that's something we didn't touch on. I have an incident that happened in my home a few months ago, we're all aware of, and I do see presence of police officers coming up and down the road, but I hadn't heard nothing about new. We had a big old meeting here about having, you know, maybe extra, you know, adding another cop on the street. I don't know, making our chief full time, so we have a full time group of people, two at all time. I mean, nothing got done about that. I hadn't heard much about it, and that is a concern to me as a citizen of Brule, is can we handle 93 homes when we extra homes when we can't handle what we have right here now?
Our police chief is full time.
Oh, is he?
Okay.
All right, enough said. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else? Oh, okay.
My name is Joe Marine, M-A-R-I-N, 1827 Orleans Quarters Drive. Thank you, Mayor, for clarifying some of the issues we were concerned about. My concern isn't so much about fire trucks and police officers getting to areas that they need to get to. Normally, it's been my experience that they get to where they need to go, regardless of who's in the way. My issue really is in the need of evacuating, of getting out. I'm a father of eight children, from 15 and a half down to a one-year-old. So every morning I wake up, I've got 16 pair of eyes I'm looking at to make sure, are they okay? If my house catches on fire, I'm not concerned about my house. It can burn to the ground. I just want to know that in the back of my mind, I can get into a vehicle and leave. So with that in mind, I would request that when we talk about blocks, that we do more than just right-of-ways. Right-of-ways I cannot drive on with my vehicle, with my van. We're talking about roads with paving. Right-of-ways do me no good if I need to get out. And I've got a 12-passenger van. Unless I put Bucktown boots on my kids or Pier Park Reeboks and send them across the field, there's not much chance of getting out. On LeBove, I do again have a concern about that. The road, I've measured it, it's 18 and a half feet wide in certain areas with a ditch on the side, as we all know. If my van goes off that road for whatever reason, for maneuvers, trying to miss somebody, we're going in a ditch. I would hate to see that happen. I don't want to see that happen. So I just ask that we to keep that in consideration. If it's a matter of eminent domain of the town forcing that to happen, I'd ask that you consider it, because it is an issue. There's going to be an accident. We're lucky we haven't had one yet. But with the extra traffic and the expansion, that's a concern. Again, back to the roads, the right-of-ways and so forth, I ask that we look at roads if possible, or a connection, and that as we consider expansion, and expansion's going to happen, it's natural, that we also consider not just right-of-ways on other areas on the north side, but we actually think about planning to put a road, an extension, so that whenever the next subdivision comes in, whenever that happens, we're not here debating this. It's a given that we will tie into those existing roads where they kind of branch off the main artery. So thank you for your time and consideration. I know it hasn't been easy. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Okay, sir.
My name is Rusty Daigle, 1755 Orleans Quarters Drive. I guess to start off, there was a lot of things that was clarified tonight, so that's a great job. There was some work done and brought forth before us. This is the third meeting I'm making. The 28th was the first one. The one Monday night was a town one, and of course tonight. I found myself leaving those two meetings, and I suspect the one tonight, slightly depressed, just along the lines of the appears to be an antagonistic I guess, air around the room, almost as if the residents of Orleans Quarters is being pitted against the commission, and I want to assure you that that is not the case. We're all residents of Brule. The public hearing is not simply a formality, but it's basically to take comments, and I think we came forward with some very objective criteria. None of it was made up. It was all factual. There were pictures that were provided. They were not accepted. They were left here, but I still have them, that actually showed the flooding. So I ask that if you make your decision tonight, that you vote with your heart, that if there's something that is against an individual that they set aside, that you put that away, and that you actually make a decision based on the residents of Brule. Not a developer from Denham Springs, but the resident of Brule. The appointed position of the commission is a very important one. And Mr. Fontenot started off by saying he just makes recommendations to the council, but it's a very important recommendation that he makes. And no one is appointed up there to just rubber stamp plans as they come through. Because as development continues on, the next one's going to come in, and then the next one, and the next one. And at some point, a decision has to be made. Where's the good growth? What are we going to do to keep and sustain the town of Brule? I ask that you give consideration that when you make your vote tonight, that it's not a predestined vote, and that you really give consideration for the residents of not only Orleans Quarters, but the town of Brule. Furthermore, I just want to clarify one item. There was something that was brought up in the town meeting that was disturbing to me that I just want to clarify for the record so that it's recorded. There was a commissioner that stood up here and read a letter that was submitted from Mr. Storms to our Homeowners Association president, and in there it listed two options. I want to tell you the other side of the story so that no one's misinformed. The first time Mr. Storms came in and met with the mayor and the board members, he basically indicated whether he was or was not aware that we owned the 5-foot property to the north side of it, was that he wanted access to it, and that if there was any problem in which we would not donate that to him, that he was backing up the project. Okay? So the homeowners met and they decided they would not give the 5-foot section, and I'll get into the reason why. We decided not to give it to him, provided that in an email to Mr. Storms, and his reply back was these two options, or two ultimatums, saying that he would consider abiding by a restriction, or he's going to go further on and develop the property in the rear of the subdivision on the west side. Certainly there's no credibility in this builder, because he reneged on his first commitment, which was he was going to back out of the project. Now, it takes a lifetime to build credibility. It takes a couple seconds to destroy it. So I think it would be very foolish for anyone that lives in Orleans Quarters to think that this man or developer would adhere to any word that he gives us when it comes to abiding by restrictions. The reason why it was denied is because of the flooding that we've been experiencing. And I understand that we have some things we're putting in place to prevent it. It has not done so, and it was not successful as of yet. The original plat, had we donated the 5 foot, was 170 homes proposed. 170 homes. If you think we have a flooding problem now, that will certainly exacerbate the problem that we have. That is why we did not give the 5 foot section to them. It had nothing to do with anything else. The property value was some of the things that people were bringing up. I would be a fool to tell you that I'm not concerned about that. Certainly I am, but I know that would not stop a plat or subdivision from going forward. But legitimate flooding is an issue. I did not choose to see 170 homes starting across our street with the problem that we currently have, in addition to the traffic that it would generate on that street. And therefore, the developer comes, in my opinion only, out of spitefulness, and says, well, fine, you don't give it to me, I'm developing it anyway, you're not going to stop me. That was the premise of my 28th comments, was that you have the discretion. You don't have to give him the ability to build a subdivision. You can wait for a developer that's going to come in and provide good growth to the town. It doesn't have to be every subdivision that's put in place. we're going to rubber stamp and let it go through. You're too important of a commission-appointed position. I know our elected officials hopefully consider the same way, that it's always the town of Brule is put first, not someone who's a resident of Dental Springs whose taxes are paid there, but someone that's here. So I just ask that you listen to what the Arlene Porter residents have said. Take into consideration, I'm not going to reiterate the previous issues that we had. I think we have that recorded, hopefully. And I just ask for your consideration during your vote.
Before you go, can I say something?
Absolutely.
When you said that you thought that the Orleans Quarters was pitted against the commission and the council, that is absolutely false. Absolutely false. Because nothing happened until we got the letter that says there's a collusion. Mm-hmm. We didn't make this letter. We didn't. I'm not through.
I wasn't going to interrupt.
I'm not through.
I was.
Also, we've been up here. And the first thing we take into consideration is the town of Brule. The only reason we're up here is because I've been here almost, 10 years? I love Brule. I take time away from my family. The only reason I'm up here is because I like Brule. I love Brule. I like to see it the way it is today and improve it and develop it properly. So that's the only reason all of us are up here is because we do put Brule first.
And look at your demeanor. That's what I'm saying. Do you see the antagonistic? Do you see the aggression that
because I'm
all I'm asking is that you consider.
Still with this letter, and I've said that in the last meeting. But thank you. Your time is up.
Yeah, that'd be enough. And we thank you for coming forward.
Thank you.
I'll just say one thing. I've been up here for 12 years, and on September the 28th. And came forward. That was my birthday. If you don't think that I love Brule and want nothing but the best, just how many of y'all would have came to a meeting and faced people on your birthday? Good. I'm going to wait for your birthday and then I'll call y'all to a meeting. And I bet half of y'all is going to have excuses. But that said and done, is there anybody else that wants to
talk? I'd like to say something.
Okay.
I know I'll find 5 minutes. There is something that I want to address that I was talking to other people about today. And it very much agrees with what Rusty was saying, except I want to say it a different way. There seems to have gotten out to people a belief that all the planning commission members and all the council members and the mayor have to vote for this thing if there's no variance. That's a perception that I hear from both sides. You know, I mean, like, my goodness, we don't have a choice. Let me explain to you what we learned in a training class. An attorney who's supposedly one of the most renowned real estate attorneys in the state, in the world, and all this other stuff, gave us a class. And he says there's two kinds of decisions that are made. One is zoning, and one is planning. Zoning means, like, if you have a piece of residential property, and it's zoned residential, and you want to build a snowball stand on it, you want a commercial piece of property, you're changing the way the property is used. That's zoning. So you come to the commission, you say, I want to rezone my property from residential to commercial. That process is designed for public comment. In other words, if the guy comes in with a perfectly good plan, everything's perfect, but the residents around that just don't want it. Then if the commission and the council votes to deny it, the likelihood of he goes to court and strings it all the way up to the highest courts there are, the likelihood of him winning are very low. He has very little chance of winning because it is a political process. It's a process that encourages input from and should be influenced by the community. Okay? That only happens though if the person involved hires an attorney and takes legal action. The likelihood is that the commission and the council will be upheld. On the other hand, There's something called planning, which means that if you're building something in the right zone already, which is like this subdivision is in a residential area, and you build it in the right zone, and a developer comes forward and he presents his stuff, and there's really nothing, nothing that doesn't meet the codes that are printed out. Like, you know, the street has to be like this, this has to be, you know, all the stuff is prescribed. He meets them all. But yet, the public comes out, or for whatever reason, maybe the council members don't like the guy, or maybe they had a bad experience with him before, whatever. For whatever reason, the council says, no, we're not going to allow your development to go forward, which is a preliminary plat and all this other stuff. Then, if that developer hires an attorney and goes forward, the likelihood of him having his plat, in this case, approved by the courts is very high, because he met all the requirements that were stated, okay? So what does that mean in this case here? What does that mean today? That means, just like Rusty said, we have in our code, the overriding consideration of everything is what's best for the town of Brule, all right? So each one of these people here, and each one of the council members, when they look at everything, they should not look at it from the standpoint of, just like that lawyer said, if we go to court, we likely lose because he's not asking for any variances. They shouldn't look at it that way. They should look at it, okay, these are all the things I know about if we develop, if we allow it, these are all the things I know if we don't allow it, and what is best for the overall good of the town. That's the only thing that they should consider. So if any one of these people votes for the preliminary plat, they're saying, I think, given all the drainage and all the other things that have come forward, that I still think this is in the best interest of the town. If one of these people and the council members vote against it, that means they're saying, after all the things I've heard, I believe this is not in the best interest of the town. So there is no, you know, like you have to vote this way. These people are not elected, they're volunteers, which, you know, that may question their intelligence to start with if they volunteer to get beat up like this. But the elected officials are elected, and that's their job, is to vote on things like that. So what I'm trying to say in a long way is, don't be misled by the fact that the council members have to vote one way or the other. They have to. They are told by our code that the overriding consideration is what's best for the town. Whether you agree with their assessment or not, that's something else. But these guys, you know, that there's some stuff that's going to be changed on the plat and all this other stuff, but these guys have pretty much met what they're supposed to be. But that doesn't mean that the council has to vote for it or they have to vote against it. Does everybody understand what I just said? I mean, am I making myself clear? Yes, sir.
Mayor, good point.
But I'm agreeing with Rusty, but I wanted to make sure, and the reason I'm up here is because there seems to be an undercurrent that the vote yes is going to mean, oh, they voted yes just because they had to. And that's not right. That's not the case.
Just a recommendation.
Again, Joe Marine, 1827 Ornings Quarters. Just a recommendation, I guess, because this will be a continuing issue for years to come, and the members on this dais will be probably feeling the same things you're feeling now. I was looking at the statistics. Brule grew by 28% from 2000 to 2010.
Correct.
This subdivision alone is only going to bring it up, once they're all filled, by 9%. My point is, we love Brule, that's why we're here. Unfortunately, everybody else knows how good Brule is. So they're coming, and they're going to be coming quick, and they're going to be coming heavy. This is going to be a continuing issue. What I would suggest is, having graduated from UNO, from the School of Urban and Regional Planning, that you at least consider maybe partnering with the college, LSU, UNO, I don't know if they still have this program after Katrina, but at least there are programs out there that you could utilize that will do overlays of resources of what your infrastructure is, what your traffic is, what your crime statistics are, and do some land use planning so that when these subdivisions come up, you're not dealing with them in a void on a case-by-case basis. You at least have some plan that will change over time and maybe renewed every couple of years or so, but at least you can see this makes sense on face value, this doesn't make sense on face value, so at least we're not in a position where we're all just throwing things out and there's no basis to work from. That's my only suggestion.
Yes.
Mark Bernard, 2730 Eileen Street. You know, like I said last week, I was here 18 years. I was one of the guys and one of the families who got the culverts. And to me, right now, it was the biggest mistake I ever made. Because Miss Elaine Reshaw's house, the old house where she used to live, in the last 7 years has flooded twice, which never happened before. And that's because our drainage system does not work. I don't know who's working on it, but it's not working. Second of all, when they put my culverts in, I got 30-inch culverts. I guarantee from the top of the culvert to the top of the dirt is probably 10 inches. The rest is filled in with mud. And there's never been somebody over there to clean them out. So what's going to be the excess on that street? Are they going to provide drainage like we have? Because it's not working. Second of all, our biggest and most important thing is our kids. The second of all is our homes, property value. You said it won't change the property value. It's a fact that it will. When you put a 1,200 square foot home behind a house that's 3,200 square foot, yes, it is going to drop the value of your house. And y'all know that for a fact. Y'all sit on this committee. I see neither one of y'all live on Eileen Street or New Orleans Quarters. There's 350 people who live on those two streets. We have to live there. That's all I got to say. Please, vote no to this. We can't handle no more water. It's ridiculous.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Yes. Or ma'am? Well, there's one behind you over there. He's a guy.
My name is Cheryl Wardenow, and I live at 1735 Orleans Quarters. Just kind of to follow up with the mayor, he has repeatedly made the comment that he, you know, wants quality homes and so forth in Burley. I'm not from here. I moved here. I've lived here 4 years. So I lived in Baton Rouge in a neighborhood that had 1,400 square feet houses. And I left that neighborhood because of the transients. He's talking about he doesn't want apartment complexes because you get the transients. You get the same thing with 1,200 square feet houses. People that have money are going to buy them and rent them out. Or you're going to have low income. And the people that they rent them out to are going to be low income people. So you're going to have the same issue as an apartment complex. It's just that it's a house versus an apartment complex. So, that's my comment. I'm not for it.
Thank you, ma'am. But you know how you got to move to Bruley and why you love it? Look right over here. Look at these people. You can't get nobody else. You look right here. So we're trying to protect the next group of people.
I moved here and I really absolutely...
And we're glad you did.
I picked Bruley's Quarters because I thought it was the best subdivision in Bruley.
It is, because of us. Young man, will you stand up?
My name is Glenn Adolph. I live at 1531 Orleans Quarters. She basically said what I was going to say, which is there's going to be a lot of transients, being that it'll be good rental property. And I also wanted to say that the people of Orleans Quarters know that this property is going to get developed. We just want to see it done differently. We kind of don't trust this developer, but maybe we can, or the property owners can find a developer that suits us a little bit better. And I also want to say the traffic is the main issue that I have personally. I have a son who is hearing impaired, and he has a missing tibia in his leg, so he wears a lift shoe. And I live way at the front of Orleans Quarters, and I really don't want to see construction trucks and cement trucks and garbage trucks and 200 plus more cars passing in front of my house.
But I have a question for you. Did you know when you moved there and built that they were going to, the second filing was coming about sooner or later?
Exactly.
You were told that.
We were given a plat that had only 40 more houses back there. And we also knew that the landowner across the street had zero plans, did not want to develop at all at the time. But we figured it would come. And that's why we moved here 2 years ago, because our son, we felt Brule was a great school, was a great place for him. There's plenty of kids in the neighborhood. I can let him go out in the yard, and then all of a sudden I get a new plat for 100-something houses, so we all...
So you feel deceived.
Exactly. Yes. And so we grabbed the only bargaining chip we had, which was that little strip, and said no. And then things started happening really quick, and so we, as homeowners, we just didn't know what was going on, so we dug in our heels, and I think there's a lot of friction or tension, but we all want sort of the same things, which is just a development we can live with, and this is not it.
What is your opinion, actually, I'd like to ask you, do you think that the government, the town of Brule, is looking out for the best interests of Brule?
Not at this moment. The mayor... That is because the mayor gets up and is seemingly defended from our point of view. I don't want to point fingers, but he seems like he's almost going to bat for the developer, saying that it's not a 500-foot cul-de-sac. To me, it's a 2-mile cul-de-sac because it has no paved. Yeah, there's a right-of-way there, but yeah, in a big hurricane, if we all have to leave, it's going to be, you know, tree falls over Eileen, and we're all stuck back there.
Which has happened.
It's highly unlikely, but time and time again, the mayor gets up and says, you know, no, it meets all requirements, it meets everything, your property value is not going down. The drainage will be done to code, but again, codes let us down. You know, it's can be done to codes all day long. He said it's not the cheapness of the house that's built. Now, I mean, you could have the nicest couple in the world living by you. If they live in a fifth-wheel trailer, your property's going down. I'm sorry, it just is. And that's the way we feel about it. Just... If the landowners could hold tight and the commission could just hang on for a couple more years, get the right people in there, build it right. That's all we ask. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else?
Yes.
Just one question. I don't need to address it.
Yes, and
I was looking at the plat, and it has a different date on it. It has the 29th. What changed between the plat that was submitted on the 2nd to the 29th?
Ms. Mary, you can address.
I don't know what that was.
There were, I believe, three things total. We addressed the dedication note, the stormwater management note. Previously, it only referenced one chapter in the town of Brule ordinances. We added the second chapter. I don't recall which one that is,
okay.
But it changes that. Note number 20 was revised. The original submittal, we had every intent of meeting all the covenants, codes, and restrictions for the subdivision. We took that out. And seems like there was one more note, I believe. I don't recall that. There was a reference regarding Town of Brule schools, and we changed that to reference West Baton Rouge Parish schools. That's in note number 15.
Any other questions? If not, then I will ask this committee to consider a request for voting on the primary plat of Orleans West subdivision, and we'll do it by roll call. Ms. Mary Ann? Yeah, let me hear a motion for or against. Do I hear a motion for or against? None?
I'll make the motion. With the recommendations of Ms. Marianne that the mayor had said, the additional right-of-way at the end of that street, and towards the end of that street, if you want to read
the laws.
Mm-hmm.
You have any time?
Number one, it require a right-of-way between the last right-of-way and the cul-de-sac.
The Harry Laws.
Yes, somewhere in that region. The second one is show the, is change the plat to show the major drainage ditch next to Roxanne's house. And that, the third one would have to be, you have to, the commission has to address one way or the other the 960 feet between two of them up there, the second to last one, and the last, and the third to last one. It says that you, if you pass it along with it more than 800, you need to state why you do, and if you don't, and if you recommend against that, you need to state that, you know. In other words, you need to address it one way or the other. Just, let me read it to you what it says. I got it.
I need that.
The language says, this is section 1911, the commission shall state reasons for recommending to the council all blocks longer than 800 feet in length. So if you, if the motion passes with the mayor's recommendation of adding another right-of-way at the end there, then there would be one block longer than 800 feet, the 960 feet block. So you all just need to state your reason.
Because it's connected to Allen.
Because it's connected to an existing right-of-way coming from Allen Street to the south.
That would be the recommendation.
That, if that's your reason.
And your motion is for?
For it?
Recommendation for.
For it?
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Motion made in second. Now we'll vote.
Can you read it back?
Roll call. How's that?
You can't read it back, so you can know what you were actually saying, because it's, it can hear us. Can you hear?
Just read it aloud. Just read it.
Just read it.
The whole thing from start to finish.
Okay, she's recommending approval.
The PA system.
With the additional right-of-way.
Wait just a minute. Your mic might not be on there yet.
She's recommending approval, subject to adding a right-of-way between the last right-of-way and the cul-de-sac, which, and then showing the major drainage ditch, and also addressing the 950-foot block that will be connecting Allen Street. 960-foot block.
Okay, and that drainage ditch is behind Roxanne Dupree's house.
Sorry. Adjacent to. Yeah.
Adjacent.
Okay. We'll vote by roll call. Yes means that you recommend it for the council. No, you're against it.
Claudette Purnell?
Yes.
Jules Thibodeau?
Yes.
Rosa Staley?
Yes.
Gary Sonnet?
No.
Jeff Travassos?
Yes.
Carol Fontenot.
Yes.
Five yeas and one nay.
It passes. Okay, is there any other come this commission? If none, do I hear a motion for us to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
I'm going to speak up.